Accession number 11219, Reel 2.
Mr. Richard Yorston, Reel 2. Now, where did you go from Canterbury?
Went from Canterbury to Rugby. And Rugby, they were starting to sort things. The 29th Division was getting mobilised, round ready for the Gallipoli. And the infantry and that, as far as I know, were round Nuneaton and round that way. It was spread all round that district. And we had some horses at a big livery stables, most of the horses. And we had Solly Joel's stables, where he kept his horses, his stables for our ride horses. And then we were there for a couple of weeks, and they decided to change the horses for mules.
What did you think of that? Because you said you liked horses.
Yes.
What did you think when they switched them for mules?
Oh, I didn't mind. No, the mules were quite good.
What were the differences, would you say, between a horse and a mule, the advantages and disadvantages of each?
Well, a mule's a hard worker, and it'll do without stuff better than a horse. If you that horses would be eager for water. A mule would be patient. It was more patient than a horse, a mule. But you mustn't, anyone else treated them, they wouldn't work.
Did the horses have any advantages? I mean,
for actual working, like we were, I liked the mules. Because the mules were hard worked as long as you treated them right.
And would you ride the mules as you'd ridden the horses?
Oh, yes. I thought the world of my team of mules. See? But when they just came to me, Lieutenant, he said to me, you're finished with Captain Taylor, you're taking a limber. And that was that.
What had you been doing for Captain Taylor?
I was groomed to Captain Stopford Taylor. And
how long had you been doing that?
I've been that ever since we left Croxteth.
What did that involve, being groomed?
Looked after his horse and took it to him when he wanted it. And
was that an easier job?
Oh, yes. You only had one horse.
Did you have one of your own as well?
No. No, not there, no. And then
so you went back on a team now?
Went back on a team, so I said, I'll take the wheel driver. I liked being wheel driver. I felt I was in control then.
Why did you feel that? What did you think was better about it?
Well, you've got the mules that were on the pole, and you just felt that you were in control of the wagon then.
So the wheel one was the back one connected to the pole
to the
wagon.
Pole, yes.
Whereas the front one...
He's the lead.
And he wouldn't be on the pole, is that?
No.
They were just connected to other wheel.
Yes, connected to the... as far as I remember, there were traces across. There was swivels across and traces on. I forget now whether it was connected to our harness or not.
And who'd be on the wagon?
Yes.
Who'd be on the wagon?
Nobody. With a limber wagon, you've got nobody on that. It's only for goods purposes. And then...
What about ambulances? The adapted ones.
They had... Lance Corporal drove one. We only had one ambulance to each section. Our section only had one. Well, Lance Corporal drove that. And he was the lead driver of that. And I forget who was his co-driver.
And who was... what would you carry on the limbers that you were...
Stores.
What sort of stores? I mean?
Everything. Medical stores, food, everything. And then we had a water cart as well. We had about... I think we had three limber wagons. They're double limbers. You know, like...
What's a double limber?
Well, two limbers, one behind the other, fastened to the other. You know, like the artillery have a limber carrying ammunition, two like that, only one fastened to the other. And there were stores and food and medical equipment, anything required, tents, everything.
So where did you go from there, then?
And we went from Rugby to Avonmouth. And we shipped on Avonmouth and marched on St. Patrick's Day. We went from there to... I can't remember the name of the ship.
Now, what did you take with you?
We took the limbers and one ambulance to each section.
That's what you took? You took the mules as well?
Yes, oh yes.
So mules you went fairly and, well equipped?
Everything, yes.
And how did you load them aboard? Was that you or did they...
Oh, no, we took them on board and then backed them. There were stalls for them in the tween decks. We backed them into the stalls as well. And from...
Do you remember the name of the ship?
I can't remember the name of that ship. I remember the name we left from there.
What was the voyage like out?
Very quiet. Not a thing. Beautiful weather.
No seasickness?
No, beautiful weather. And we went to Malta in March, and then we went to... must have been towards the end of March when we got to Alexandria, went on the next desert.
And where's that?
Outside Alexandria. It's on towards Libya. And we were there, I think, must have got there about the end of March, and we left there at the beginning of April. No, about... must have been about a week or so into April.
Is it just your unit in this camp?
Yeah, you know, the whole... There was... you didn't know where the others were. They were all over. On our troop ship, there was... we were on the Andania. We left Alexandria on the Andania, and we went to Mudros.
Hang on. What was it like in the desert? Do you remember?
Oh, it was horrible.
What was horrible?
Yes, because you got sandstorms occasionally, and you get a bit of a wind, and the sand would blow up, and you're having trouble. And we only had one tap for water, and you're carrying your water in buckets to your mules. You had canvas buckets, you know. And then we got embarked in the Andania.
What about the food?
We fed pretty decently there. We had our own cooks and that.
Did the heat upset you at all?
No. Heat never has done. No.
What about the Egyptians? Did you get much contact with those?
No. None at all.
Were you doing any training while you were there?
No. No.
Just waiting?
Waiting. And exercise, that's all.
So
exercise.
You went on the Acacia?
No, they went from there to... Oh, I've forgotten the name. That's what I forget what I was talking about a minute ago sometimes.
Is it to Mudros?
Oh, we went to Mudros. It was the name of the ship I was trying to
think.
Acacia. We went to Mudros. And we were there. We went ashore for a stretch of legs. Well, Mudros, it was practically desert. A desolate sort of place. Only one town, as far as I know. A very desolate place. They let us go there for a walk for a day. That was all, stretch our legs. Then we went back to the ship. And
now, when did you first realise you were going to Gallipoli?
We heard about in Egypt. And when we go into Alexandria, the Armenians were making a fuss of us. Come, wanted to shake hands with you. And we didn't know where we were going. We knew we were going to Turkey. We didn't know where. And we found out afterwards they'd heard we were going to Turkey and they hated the Turks. So
you weren't told officially?
No. We didn't know until we got to Mudros. We didn't even know then actually where we were going, what was happening. We knew we were going to make a landing.
But you had an impression that the security wasn't very tight in Alexandria.
Yes. Yes. So...
How long were you at Mudros then?
I think about a week, something like that. It would be something like that. And then on the morning of the 25th, a captain, Stopper Taylor, he asked us for, he asked for volunteers, and I said I'd volunteer with him. And I went with him in the boats.
What were you volunteering for?
For the boats. They wanted somebody that was used to small boat work, and he said to me, with me being young, he said, are you sure you can manage the oars? I said, yes, we're going to use the ship's boats. I said, yes, I'm used to it. So he said, righto.
Now, why did you volunteer?
I liked the idea. I said, I was game for anything in those days. Well, I've always been like that anyway. So he said, all right. And I was used to boat work. And so I thought that if I'm used to boat work, it's better me going than somebody that doesn't. And... In the finish, they put us into Greek barges.
So you weren't in boats anymore?
No. And
where did you get put into the Greek barge?
Off the ship. Andania. Andania, yes.
Was it at Mudros or
no, she came right, it came well in. Behind.
So you went on the ship. Was the whole unit on the ship, the Andania?
Yes, yes, and a lot of infantry.
And so how close to Gallipoli were you when you got into the barges?
Oh, we were behind the Implacable. The Implacable was as near the shore as she could get, and she was hammering them. And we were behind her, I should think, might have been 2 or 3 miles.
And which beach were you approaching?
X Beach.
Could you just describe what happened in as much detail from when you left the Andania to when you got ashore, as far as you remember it?
Well, when we got round the Implacable, and we're getting told by a picket, pinnace, and when we got past the Implacable, they weren't shooting at us, they were shooting at the Implacable. You could hear the bullets going over your head at the Implacable. They were trying to get her. And when we landed, the Implacable was shooting ahead of us. We had a quite calm landing, actually.
Was there no fire at you? Were you the first ashore?
We were amongst the first. After the wave had gone, the fusiliers went up first. And I can't remember when the Borderers and the Inniskillings came. They suddenly turned up, and I can't remember when.
So you were sort of second wave?
Yes, so we were on our own. We landed and stayed on the beach.
Now, what could you see when you landed on the beach?
Nothing. Nothing, absolutely.
No bodies?
No.
No stores?
No, nothing on the beach. The men had got up pretty well, and the trouble started when they got over the top. And the left, I believe to the left of us, the Turks were that surprised to see them. They didn't make much effort.
Did this Implacable give... Was it giving you valuable support?
Oh, yes. That was our only cover. She kept hammering them all the time.
What targets was she choosing?
She was doing the whole of the Turkish line in front of us, covering the beach all the time. She had 6-inch guns and 12-inch. They sounded like 12-inch. They were quick firers. And she was hammering them all the time and keeping ahead of the troops all the time as they went. And that's what kept the Turks away, I think. She had flattened them. And the Turks, while we were landing, you could hear the Turks, they fired over, going over you. But it, as well, by the time we landed, it pretty well shut up.
Now, when you landed on the beach, who of your unit landed first? And what was your job?
Oh, I had no job, actually. I was waiting then for the mules to come ashore.
So no
I had no job, no.
Who did land?
The stretcher bearers and Captain Stopford Taylor, and to set up a dressing station.
How many of them would there be, about?
No, I couldn't say.
And where did they set up the dressing station?
On the beach.
Which end, do you remember?
In the centre. We were in the centre of X Beach.
Now, what you had no particular job.
No.
So what did you decide
to
do?
So I decided to scout out and see if I could find what wounded. And as I went up the cliff, there was a chap there lying and said, "Will you mind my arm, mate?" And when I looked at it, his arm had gone, and there was no blood. It'd been a shell had cut it up, and evidently the heat of the shell, I suppose, had sealed it. I don't know. So I went down and told the stretcher bearers, and the stretcher bearers came up and got him. And I went further up the cliff and got on the top and heard a voice shout, "Get down!" And I got down. He was a captain of the Royal Fusiliers. And he was wounded with his batman. So I went down and told the stretcher bearers again, and they went and slipped. He said, "I'm all right, I'm quite happy." And I couldn't see any of our chaps, they'd advanced. And the stretcher bearers came and brought him up. And after that, I believe the corporal in charge of the stretcher bearers got the DCM over it, over the landing, over what the stretcher bearers had done. And
so when you went up at the top of the cliff, what could you see happening?
I mean, nothing. Absolutely nothing.
What was the ground like? I mean, the terrain?
It was, as far as I remember, it looked like scrub.
But you couldn't see either British or Turkish
troops? No. Our fellows evidently got into the Turkish lines. I don't know why. I think they must have got into the Turkish trench.
Well, Was there much firing going on?
Yes, always quite a bit of firing. The Turks had lost their pom-poms. We got those. They were on the top of the cliff. They had artillery at the top of the cliff, but it wasn't there when we go and I go up. They must have been on one side. But there was a pom-pom there with several barrels. And it was all scrub.
Whose pom-pom was that then?
The Turks.
Now, could you hear any firing from the other beaches? Because Beach wasn't far away.
W Beach was next to us, but you couldn't see what was going on there.
So you didn't know what was happening?
No, but we heard afterwards when they... I believe our chaps tried to join up with W Beach, and then the Borders and the Inniskillings turned up. I don't know when they came, but they turned up. And I think it was the Royals tried to connect up with W Beach, and they told us that the water was swimming with blood from the Lancashire Fusiliers.
You don't remember much about what you did the rest of that
no.
day?
No.
What's the next thing? That was the 25th of April.
Yes.
What's the next thing you do remember from Gallipoli?
I remember us being on Gully Beach, and we made a flattened out spot for the mules, and we dug little platforms for ourselves in the cliff. You couldn't build a... just before we got there, there'd been a rainstorm. We didn't get any rain while we were there. The gully was pretty clear. So then we started... The line had gone up then. He'd gone past Gully Beach and done about a mile up. And then
that's quite early on, is it?
Yes, it must have been about a mile up, and then they were stuck. Didn't seem to move ahead for a long time. And then it was monotonous after that, except the trouble was food.
Hang on, I'll come back to that, because I've got some questions to ask you about that. What was this... you set up a place for the mules.
Yeah.
And that was a flattened area. Would you use a wagon line type thing?
Yes, we put the wagons alongside and made a place for the wagons by it.
And where was your actual actual unit, the field dressing station?
Oh, they put that further up. As far as I remember, it was on a bit of a hillock. I can't remember properly where it was, and I used to drive up to it.
What did it consist of?
Must have been on the shore. Oh, it was a tent.
A big tent?
It was a big tent, an operating tent.
And you lived by the wagon lines?
No, the wagon lines were that side of the gulf.
The right-hand side?
Yes, the horses and the wagons. Well, we got on the cliff this side.
The left-hand side?
Yes, on the seaside. Inside the Mediterranean, and just dug flattened out the cliff, and we'd sleep on that.
So the horses were more in the gully?
They were down in the gully, out of the
and
road.
You were...
Up on the cliff, out of the way. We do pay us, it did stable guard and stand by if you wanted.
Now, what I want to do, this is a period of routine now, as far as you're concerned, and from now until you left. I want to ask you about then is about almost like a typical day. That'll take us through all the topics, you see. Where would you sleep then? What was your sleeping accommodation like?
We just slept on the flattened out piece of the beach, a piece of the cliff.
Did you get any cover at all? Did you dig in the side of the cliff?
No, didn't dig in. No, didn't need to. It was hot. And we ran out of water, and there was a hatch floated in off the... floated onto the beach. And two of us, we're both members of the same swimming club, We took all the water bottles out to a trawler, and they filled them for us, and we did the daftest thing that any experienced swimmers could do. We had a meal, and they gave us meal and a tot of rum, but we got back all right with them. We got the water bottles back.
Was that early on?
Yes, and we landed with a bottle of water and 3 days' iron rations, that was all.
So that's when you did that, swimming out?
Yes, we swam out there when they ran out of water.
Now, so you'd sleep. What on this typical day? What would happen then? What time would you wake up?
Wake up most probably at daylight. Be early about 6 o'clock. You just automatically go down and look after your mules and.
So you'd do the mules before you did your yourself.
Oh yes, always.
And what would you do to the mules that morning? First thing in the morning.
You'd groom them, clean them down.
On Gallipoli, you still had to keep.
Oh yes, you kept them clean. Oh yes, you had to. And they only shod them on the hind legs, if I remember right. They only shod them on two legs and left the others bare. I think it was the hind legs they shod them on.
And why was that?
They said they didn't require it. And
So you groom them. Would you feed them and water them before or after you groom them?
Oh, feed them first, and then while they were eating, you'd groom them. And
what would you feed them on?
Oats and hay.
And where would you get that from?
It was brought to us, came by boat.
So where did you keep it, I mean?
Oh, it was only on the ground. I put a tarpaulin over it, that's all.
So you fill it. How would you feed it? Would you use a nose bag or...
Oh, yes, nose bags.
What about water?
They had water cart, and we used to get water as best we could. You see, they had one well, and then they brought a big tanker there and used to send the water ashore from the tanker.
So you'd get the water, and how would you get it to the horses?
We had a water cart. I can't remember how the water cart picked it up, though.
All right. And did they drink it out of buckets or out of a trough?
Yes, out of buckets and no troughs. You had canvas buckets, one for each one.
So, after you'd done and fed the horses in this typical day, what would you do next?
Then you were ready for what was happening. Some might have to go down to somewhere to go and pick up fodder and that. And
where would you have to go to get fodder?
I can't think of that. It would be down to the beach.
A
little bit up from the beach.
Or
at Gully Beach. You couldn't be... It was too rocky to go along towards Sex Beach. It was all right the other way. I'll tell you about that after, too. But we... and then Hooson, my mate, was a Welshman. And we used to do quite a bit of work up, going up. The line was about a mile up the gully then. And we'd go up and clear any wounded.
So what was it like? Could you tell me what it was like on one of those trips up to the line? What would you take with you? What would you have? There'd be...
The ambulances carry four wounded or about a dozen walking cases. And
what did they look like?
They were you know, like the ones, the motor ones now, something like that, but they were canvas tops.
And sort of square?
Square canvas tops. And they had rubber wheels, rubber tyres, solid rubber tyres. And
how were they driven?
Only by the four mules. But an open back. They only had a boy to put up.
And so there'd just be the two drivers went with each ambulance?
Yes, and a wagon orderly. He was a nursing orderly.
And he looked after the patients?
He looked after the patients.
So how many of these ambulances, say you went up in the morning, how many would go up at once?
We only had the one on our beach for each section. Our section was at this beach. The other B section was down at Lancashire Landing. So, but A section was at, there was one ambulance to each section. We had the one ambulance.
And that was the one you drove?
Yes, we used to drive that.
And you were the wheel driver?
I was the wheel driver, yes.
So, you went up the gully?
Yes.
What was it like going up the gully?
A bit rough, but just enough room for one wagon. There's enough room for one wagon. And it was a bit rough going up. But you got used to it, and it gradually got a little bit better. But we were clearing the Gurkhas, and coming down, there was a Jamadar major of the Sikhs, and he refused to move for us. And I said, "Dina Jow." So he wouldn't move. He said, "Dina Jow." He wouldn't move. So I lost my temper, and I said, "Dina Jow, you sook a budge, that son of a pig." He went for his sword, and two of our Gurkhas walked round with hands on the kukris. You never saw anyone travel so fast in your life. So
Why wouldn't he move?
He was autocratic. He wanted us to make way for him. Very autocratic. Oh, great big moustaches. And and another day we were coming down, and there was a captain with his batman carrying all his gear and his arm in a sling, and he stopped us. He said, "Take me on." I said, "We can't, we're full up." We had four stretcher cases, we had men standing there, we had everything. I said, "We can't take any walking wounded." He said, "Get rid of one of them and I'll take it up." So he said, "It's no good, Captain, we're not taking anyone." And it was, "Is it safe to mention a name?" All right. So I said, "Do you realise who I am?" He said, "No, I'm Captain Forbes Robertson." You know, actors.
He was an actor?
He comes of an acting family. "I'm Captain Forbes Robertson." My mate yapped at him in Welsh, and I said, "We don't care who you are. you still have to walk, because we're not taking any cases that can't walk from people that can walk, and you get on your hind legs and get down there. I'll report you. He did, and the telling off he got was nobody's business.
And which regiment was he with? Do you happen to remember?
I don't know. It belonged to, no. You couldn't tell one from the other then.
Now, so as you... we're doing fine. You went up the gully.
Yes.
Now, what would happen when you got to the top end of the gully?
Oh, they'd sandbagged it up. They'd sandbagged it up for
us. How far could you get up, would you say?
About a mile, I should think.
And when you got to the top, you say you were collecting the wounded. Now,
yes.
How was that done? I mean...
They'd bring them down to us, the local stretcher bearers, the unit stretcher bearers.
So that would be the battalions?
Yes.
In the line, stretcher bearers. And was there a collecting point they brought it to?
No, we just come up the gully and they'd come right down to us.
Just brought all their casualties into the gully?
Bring them down to the gully, yes.
Would they have a sort of first aid post there?
No, there wasn't.
So what was done to them when they were brought to the gully?
They'd been done up at their own regimental aid posts.
So where would they be when you were... They would be in the gully, but whereabouts in the gully?
Oh, the trenches came down to the gully. The trenches were on each side of the gully.
No, what I mean is, where would they put them while they were waiting for you?
Oh, they wouldn't. They don't beat them up in the trenches. They don't bring them down when we were there. They wouldn't leave them hanging around. Because after the... May wasn't too bad, but after May it was swarmed with flies. Flies everywhere. Flies in everything.
How would they know that you were there in the gully?
Oh, they could see you coming up anyway.
So how were they loaded into the ambulance?
Well, we had two seats each side, two stretcher places for the stretchers. They had one on each side there and one underneath, and we'd strap them in.
So that's four stretcher cases.
Four stretcher cases. And actually, you weren't supposed to carry any others, but we'd always take a few if there was any there.
How many more could you get aboard?
We could get about half a dozen on the floor. If they could stand well and good, if they couldn't, they'd have to sit on the floor, we'd take them.
And what state would they be in when you picked them up?
Not too bad, as a rule. Well, of course, we didn't know properly. We didn't wait. We just... once they were loaded on board, we got ahead as fast as we could go.
So the medical orderly was left to look after them?
Yes, he'd look after them. He'd see to them. He'd be on the box and he'd keep his eye on them. He could see from the box right through.
What about the... did you see any very badly wounded put on board?
Oh, yes. But the badly wounded, they'd been treated first at their own aid post by the doctor, because each unit had its own doctor and its own stretcher bearers. The bandsmen were stretcher bearers.
Where were your stretcher bearers, your unit? Did they have any?
Yes, our stretcher bearers used to
be. Where would they be? Where would they be operating?
I'm not too sure what had happened to them, because we had the operating tent. And we came down once with a Turk that died. He died on the wagon. And the Catholic chaplain, we had to... If you brought a dead body down, you had to dig the grave for it. So the Catholic chaplain came and insisted on holding a service over him. And a sergeant was a Catholic, was answering it. And that. So I don't know the Catholic church, so I don't know how it goes on. But anyway, afterwards I said... He said to me, "You want to put a little cross on that with his name on?" I said, "I don't think he'd thank us for it. I don't think he'd thank us for this service." He said, "What do you mean? I've given him a good Christian burial." I said, "Yes, but it's a monument."